Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of Neogen Chemicals Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nishid Solanki from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Neogen Chemicals Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. Joining us today on the call are senior members of the management team, including Dr. Harin Kanani, Managing Director, Mr. Anurag Surana, Director, and Mr. Ketan Vyas, Chief Financial Officer. We will commence the call with opening thoughts from the management team, post which we shall open the forum for Q&A, where the management will be glad to address your questions. Let me leave with a standard disclaimer here. Certain statements made or discussed on the conference call today may be forward-looking in nature. The actual results may vary from these forward-looking statements. A detailed disclaimer in this regard is available in Neogen Chemicals Q1 FY23 earnings PPT, which has been circulated earlier. I would now like to invite Dr. Harin Kanani to share his perspectives. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Nishid. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. We have shared our result documents, and I hope you had an opportunity to go through them. I will begin by sharing the performance highlights and growth initiatives, while Mr. Ketan Vyas, our CFO, will take us through the financial insights for the first quarter ended FY23. We have commenced the year on a strong note despite unprecedented challenges witnessed in the past few months in the form of high input and utility costs, logistical disruption, as well as severe volatility in exchange rates. Just to share the key financial trends, revenue increased by 75% while EBITDA improved by 58% and profit after tax grew by 51%. This time again, we witnessed significant increase in the prices of raw materials linked to lithium, which the company was able to pass on to the customers, resultantly protecting the absolute EBITDA. The EBITDA percentage margin decline is optical as it considers higher revenues and higher RM costs with preserved absolute earnings. During the quarter under review, our organic chemical segment revenue enhanced by 32% year-on-year, while growth in inorganic chemicals stood at 243%. This was in line with our internal expectations and was supported by incremental gains from the capacity expansion initiatives undertaken across both the business segments. The demand profile of products that we manufacture remains upbeat, and we are confident in maintaining this growth momentum going forward. We have several CapEx initiatives lined up this year and next year that will boost our performance trajectory in the existing as well as new business of lithium ion battery chemical space. These initiatives are getting executed as per earlier stated timelines. Let me share some updates here. Discussions with both domestic and global customers are advancing as expected, and there is continued interest in robust demand. As a process, we have started submitting samples for technical approvals, and evaluations are underway to approve Neogen as a vendor at our customer end. Once we get some comfort on that, we will align our large capex plan with lithium and battery chemical space in H2 of the current financial year. In the CSM and advanced intermediate business, we are excited with the current momentum as we have started witnessing traction from even other sectors that are non-agro and non-pharma, including the traditional pharma and agro segments. Our focus is to increase the revenue contribution from these segments, which is in line with our efforts to expanding the portfolio of value-added products. Separately, post our board approval last quarter, we have started initial work at the Dahej plant to deploy up to Rs 150 crore capex in this financial year. This will be used for following initiatives: increasing the manufacturing capacity of specialty organic chemicals by 60,000 liter reactor capacity, expanding manufacturing capacity of inorganic salts from 1200 metric ton to 2400 metric ton, setting up new capacity in existing inorganic MPP for 400 metric tons per annum for manufacturing specialty lithium salts and additives for electrolyte used in lithium and battery advanced chemistry cells, and overall site development at Dahej SEZ. All this expansion will come on stream by June 2023 and will help significantly elevate our revenue trajectory from the current levels. Our FY24 revenue guidance remains unchanged at ₹700 to 725 crore, while by FY25-26 we will be able to add another 250 to 300 crore at full utilization level, resulting in a revenue potential of approximately 1000 crores. Let me clarify that here the incremental revenues as well as the revenue guidance for FY24 is estimated based on stable lithium prices. The growth prospects for us are encouraging and we are very well poised to capitalize on the emerging opportunities unfolding in the Indian chemical space. This, along with India's growing position in global chemicals value chain, will drive incremental gains. Our focus will be to deliver sustained growth with healthy acceleration to profitability, thereby creating value for all stakeholders. With that, I would now request our CFO, Mr. Ketan Vyas, to share the financial highlights for the quarter under review.
Thank you, Dr. Hari. Good afternoon and welcome to everyone. Today, I will cover the financial performance of the company for the first quarter ended the 30th June of 2022. Please note that all comparisons are on year-on-year basis and refer to standalone financial performance. In Q1 FY23, our revenue stood at ₹147.9 crore, representing a robust growth of 75%, driven by incremental benefits accruing from the expanded capacity and guided by positive demand environment. The company has been able to leverage its expertise in process chemistries to focus on high-value products with multi-stage processes. We saw an EBITDA of ₹34.7 crore, growing by 58% in Q1 FY23. EBITDA margin came in at 16.7% in Q1 FY23. The EBITDA performance was supported by operating leverages gain on account of increased capacity available. Favorable product mix also steered the momentum. The improvement came in despite various pressures seen in the form of higher input and utility costs with added exchange rate volatility. During the quarter, we reported a strong double-digit growth in profit after tax at ₹11.1 crore, higher by 61% in Q1 FY23. This was bolstered by a strong operating performance. During the Q1 FY23, our domestic to export mix stood at 56% and 44% respectively. That ends my opening remarks. I will now request the moderator to open the forum for the discussion with the participants. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Saurabh from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So the first question is on the organic chemicals. So if you look at the revenue for organic chemicals from Q3 to Q4 to Q1, there has been slight decline over the last two quarters. So is there this is because of seasonality or what is the reason behind this?
This is mostly driven by seasonality and slightly soft demand from pharma customers some specific molecules or APIs, where there is basically inventory correction which is going on, where some of the APIs, there was large inventory worldwide and now the correction is happening. But more, I would say, is because of the seasonality, that generally Q1 demand is a bit lower.
Okay. So are these APIs related to ARV segment?
No. These are some non-ARV APIs.
Okay. Sir, second is on, if you can provide some color on the cash flow from operations or working capital situation at the end of Q1.
So, you know, our working capital utilization was slightly higher in end of Q1 because, again, we had planned for a higher production and there's a little bit of inventory build-up because our capacity utilization was much higher, although the organic revenue was a bit lower. So there is higher working capital utilization, but more or less in line with what we are expecting for the business increase that we are targeting for this year.
Okay. And so the continuing with this working capital, so now we are seeing the commodity price coming down. So should we expect some working capital release from Q2 onwards?
So, you know, we are constantly increasing and trying to increase our utilization levels. So as we said that in this year, we are hoping by the end of the year, because our idea is to ensure higher utilization of our facilities. So by end of this year, we would be at similar levels at about like net working capital in the range of around 120 to 130 in that. And by next year, we are hoping that by FY24, as we had earlier also guided, our target is that we are somewhere at around 100-110 days of the net working capital cycle based upon net sales number of days.
Okay. Sir, my last question on your comment in the presentation that you mentioned it about increasing traction from non-pharma, non-agro. So can you elaborate more in terms of end industry or the size of the molecules or the client or the base raw material? Is it a bromine or lithium?
So it's based upon our organic. So both these are organic. Both these molecules which we are thinking of are on the organic side. And one of them is for flavors and fragrance kind of segment. And so we have actually 3 or 4 molecules which are now in flavors and fragrance. And another is a very typical industry, which is like basically like a specialty chemical required for one of our customers in Japan.
Okay, sir. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants to press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Manish Gupta from Solidarity Group. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Dr. Haren, I have 2 questions. The first one is that of all the lithium that is being imported in India right now, being imported into India for processing, what percentage of that would Neogen be imported?
Okay, so all the lithium which is currently being imported, I would basically again divide into 2 parts. One is lithium which is used for making, you know, specialty intermediates like lithium bromide, lithium chloride, like the salts that we make. And a second big application is for making grease application. So what is used for making grease which companies like Indian Oil and others who make, so that is a very large application, what I would consider as a bulk. Most of this is in the form of lithium hydroxide and most of the intermediates that we make is in the form of lithium carbonate. So we had checked this some time ago. I have not checked the most recent numbers. But when we had checked, we were importing close to around 60 to 75% of the lithium carbonate which was getting imported into India for the specialty application.
Okay. And my second question is that, you know, in a lot of these chemistries, I would imagine there is some process knowledge that only comes with experience.
Yes.
So, how much of a time advantage would we have over a company that starts deciding they want to pursue lithium salts today? So and as they try and catch up, I guess our knowledge would have further expanded. So how do we think of the advantage we have in terms of time or experience or cost vis-a-vis somebody else who attempts to do this today?
So I think there are three things which help support our lithium. One is, of course, the understanding. The second is like the credibility, because most of the customers in lithium are basically, other than some application in pharma, are non-chemical companies. So they rely on Neogen to not only provide the product as per the specification, but they want Neogen, like the reliability component is very high, because sometimes they are not even able to test the specifications fully or the impurity profile. So, and like from batch to batch, it has to be consistent. So that years of experience which they have, the credibility and the knowledge which you are providing them is also a critical factor here. And third is also the relationship with the lithium companies, to be able to ensure that even in a tough time, your lithium supply continues and you are not going dry. So I would say this is a combination of these three. What we have seen so far in last 25, 30 years, that some, like, you know, two areas, so the some non-critical or non-critical pharma application, where it is like generic or non-regulated market application, as well as non-OEM lithium requirement. So it's not the people who are making the machines, but the user of the machine. Suppose if they have a repair and maintenance activity and they want a replacement of these materials. So this is where, like, you know, other than non-Neogen companies are able to cater. But when it comes to OEM, when it comes to regulated pharma, that's where, you know, these three modes, which I told you earlier, we've been able to successfully manage and withstand. So the main competition that we see is like our Chinese, Korean, Japanese, and a European competitor, who have a similar track record as Neogen, who have supplied to OEM for years. So that credibility and the experience, and like, you know, have an ability to source lithium. So these are the main competitions in my view.
And just as a follow-on, that because for the EV vehicles, the batteries have to be made locally.
Yes.
Have any of these foreign competitors set up shop in India so far?
No, and in fact, even the specific competitors who've been making lithium salts, also even in their own countries, have not moved to EV. There are some various challenges which they have, limitations which they have, but I know at least my Japanese and Chinese competitors, they are still sticking to the traditional lithium application. The players in EV are completely different. So we do have competitions in EV, mainly from China and a little bit from Japan. But and now maybe Korea also, some new players are coming. But most of these are new players. They are not these existing players.
But then, Dr. Harin, if you don't have players who will be able to supply this locally, that means, I mean, do you have a chance to almost get 70% to 100% of the overall market?
So I think, you know, some other Indian companies, at least for electrolyte, have already made some announcements. So we don't know. I mean, we can target a high market share, but like, you know, at least when we are doing our models, we are being considerate and not expecting a, like, you know, a very high market share. We kind of do three models, like, you know, 30%, 50%, and 70%. Like, this is generally the market share range that we look whenever we look at worst case, best case, and moderate kind of scenarios. But we'll see where it lands in. The other thing which can happen is that some of the materials, for various reasons, could be imported in the beginning. So like, for example, some of the battery producers may decide to import part of it, and eventually some of the players may set up a shop in India. But so far, I have not heard of any announcement of international players setting up a shop in India, either to make electrolyte salts or for electrolyte.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Shah from Investec India. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, Yash.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Sir, my question was regarding lithium prices, sir. From the global channel checks, what we've done,
Yes.
Lithium prices have started easing off. But we can, as you mentioned in your commentary, that the prices had increased.
Yes.
Just wanted to understand, is it similar to what you had mentioned in the previous quarter, that there is some kind of a disconnect between the global lithium prices and domestic lithium prices, and there is a lag basically when it comes till India? Just wanted to understand that first.
Yes. Usually what happens is that mostly what gets reported is the Chinese spot market prices. Okay? We don't buy from the Chinese spot market, so therefore, most of the, like, you know, commentary that you get is a Chinese spot market thing. What generally happens is that when we have this long-term relationship with our South America-based suppliers, they will look at the Chinese spot market prices, and they will base the contract around that. It can be a bit higher, it can be a bit lower, you know, depending on what is the forward outlook, et cetera. So what generally happens that if I do a contract in this quarter, then by the time they take about month and a half to start shipping, and then it takes 2 months for it to arrive. So eventually what happens is that we have, let's say, 1.5 to 2 quarter lag between what happens in the Chinese spot market and material, when we receive here. Okay? So we also try to work with our customers, and at least once we get a clarity on the prices, you know, we start booking our next quarter volumes, et cetera. So that's how basically, we've been working on this. So yes, the prices, so we are, like, from India point of view, from the material which is arriving, the prices are still kind of on the increasing trend. So the Q1 prices of this quarter, what lithium carbonate we consume, was higher than what was in Q4 of last year. And what we will be consuming in Q2 is even higher. And the, like, the prices have, like, moderated a little bit, so it's not that, you know, they've gone down significantly, but they've stopped increasing and maybe correcting by a couple of dollars or something like that. So the impact of that will basically be in Q3. So internationally, if we look, Q1 and Q2 was little bit stable at that peak price, and what we expect for Neogen, the Q2, Q3 will be more or less at that kind of peak prices, the visibility that we have so far.
Got it. Got it. And sir, so basically you also mentioned that you were able to pass on the prices. So till what extent have you been able to do that?
So, up to Q2, we have looked at ourselves and, you know, we have been able to pass on whatever price increase we had, on the lithium that we had paid higher. To that extent, we have been able to do that. Now, our real challenge is going to be Q2 and Q3, because this is where the peak price is going to hit us. So, you know, some of the challenge which my customers are facing is that, you know, at that price, their final molecule is not viable. Some of the customers understand. I mean, they don't have an option, and, you know, this is the global prices, and even if they buy globally, it's going to be the same price. And, like, where it is used as a catalyst application, where, you know, there's not too much contribution in the final RMC, our customers are able to pass on. I mean, we are able to pass on a little bit more easily, and we may still be able to pass on. But some customers, where this is a significant part of their final end use, like, this will be the real test whether how their end customers are responding to this kind of a price increase. So that's going to be the challenge in Q2 and Q3. But what is working for us is that we have found more such customers globally who, for whom, you know, the price is not so critical, but the supply is really important. So, like, you know, just even in last quarter, almost 25% of the revenue which we had was from completely new customers. Like, that's been the trend for last two quarters. So we are actually adding new customers, new applications for which, you know, we've not worked in last 30 years, but now we are able to do that. So our hope is that, you know, there might be slight lesser demand from our domestic customers, but the global demand we are able to make up, and, like, you know, still preserve our volumes and, like, being able to continue to pass on the price increase. But again, like, you know, whether we do that successfully, how well it works, we'll know, like, you know, how Q2, Q3 goes. There's also view that, you know, is this temporary or is this long term? So there are many analysts internationally or the suppliers who think that this is going to be the new normal, like, you know, for at least couple of quarters. Then maybe some people feel that by 2023 or 24 is when prices will come more, like, you know, will there will be more significant reduction in this. So anyway, if we keep watching this, you know, there's too many factors which are determining this price. You know, what is going to be the EV demand, how is the new capacity expansions of the miners working. So it's a combination of all of that, and we wait and watch.
Right. So, but sir, we maintain inventory, right? Basically, we maintain such higher level of inventories only to mitigate such volatility in the prices. Now, in this quarter also, sir, we've seen pressure on the margins. Like, we've had, like, the lowest margin since Q4 of FY19.
Yes.
So, and as you mentioned that Q2 and Q3 is going to be further challenging.
Yes.
So, sir, do you think, sir, we'll be able to maintain the broad level guidance which we provide for our margins, which is between 17.5 to 19.5 till FY24? Will we be able to maintain the same, sir, even for the current fiscal year?
Yeah, so I'm glad you asked this question so I can, you know, explain a little bit more. So let's say we have guided for a 600 crore revenue, and we have said that 600 crore revenue with about 18.5% kind of EBITDA, which basically comes somewhere around, you know, 100 to 110 crore kind of a EBITDA number. So we are fairly confident that we'll be able to get this 110 crore EBITDA number. But because of this rising lithium prices, we will overshoot our 600 crore. So instead of 600 crore, the way things are going now, looking at the lithium prices, we might be anywhere between 650 to 700 crore. So we will be able to protect our absolute EBITDA numbers, which is like 100 to 110 crores. But on a percentage basis, whatever this overshoot that happens in lithium, there we might not still be able to get that percentage. I mean, we'll try to do as best as possible, which will then, you know, result in... So I'm quite confident that the top line will definitely be overshot. So that 600 crore will be, 650 crore or 700 crore. That's the range which I'm currently looking at. But like again, it depends on how lithium behaves for the remaining quarters. So the absolute EBITDA also should be in the range of 100-110 crore. But as a percentage, you know, it might not be, it will most likely not be 18.5% because of this very high lithium prices. I mean, lithium prices in our Q2 are going to be like 4-5 times what is a stable lithium price. So at this point in time, if we not only pass on the benefit but expect customer to also give us a higher margin, which is at, on the absolute terms, is 5 times. That's going to be very difficult for long-term customers' point.
Got it.
Like, even the numbers which you've seen in last quarter and this quarter, like, you know, if this additional lithium prices, when we correct, they fall in that same 18 to 19% range of what we are doing.
Okay. So, and still, will we not change our margins for FY24, our guidance for FY24 in terms of revenue? Will we still maintain about 700 to 725 crores, given that this year itself we are on the verge of going around 700 crores? So for FY24, no changes in the guidance and in terms of revenue?
So this is 700 to 725 crores is the revenue guidance on a stable lithium price, okay? So if by FY24 lithium prices come back to stable lithium price, you know, then that will be the guidance. If they remain high, then similar situation that, you know, we will basically overshoot that number, okay? But again, ensure that at EBITDA level, we are at 18-19% of 700 to 725.
Got it, sir. Got it. That was really helpful. Sir, one last bookkeeping question which I had was, tax rate, sir, for this quarter has been significantly high, but for the whole year, we should be around 25-26%, right? That is what, all I wanted to confirm.
Yeah. So,
okay.
I'll ask Ketan to answer.
Yeah. On the tax rate, we should be about 26% plus something, because previous had a higher depreciation and MAT, so this year we should be around 26% plus approximately.
Got it. Last one question, sir, which I had was, we can see our employee costs and other expenses have also increased. So is it primarily because of the ongoing capex which we have undertaken, the four new projects, which will basically with the increase in the revenue, we will get operating leverage, say, in FY25 onwards?
So I think, no, the revenue cost which we are seeing is, you know, just even to support, like, as for full utilization of Dahej, because we had also staggered our employee base coming that way. This doesn't keep into account, like, you know, what additional people which you will require for 150 crore, and we've not started hiring them as yet. But yes, as we get to full utilization level, as a percentage, you know, these numbers will kind of taper off.
Got it, sir. Thank you. That's all from my end. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Archit Joshi from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, sir. Thank you, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. So my question was largely to understand the situation that we are seeing in Europe, and in both the businesses that we have, be it the organic or the inorganic side. Sir, being a larger proxy to the pharmaceutical and agrochemical market, and just picking up cues from what we saw during COVID, that healthcare and food security were given the highest importance, and that is why a lot of contract manufacturing players in India benefited, not just in agri, but in pharma also. Now that the European companies or the multinationals that we might be catering to, would you in your organic business say that they might have a confusion or a dilemma with respect to making something on their own or outsourcing more because of the higher cost? This is largely to on the organic side of the business. At the same time, because the power and fuel costs are, you know, going through the roof, and on the inorganic side, we are catering to the HVAC market. And we are looking at the second half of FY23 to be a stronger half in terms of revenue and growth. Do you see any ramification of this entire regime turning out to be negative for the European economy? And if you can bifurcate this for both our businesses, if this is an opportunity for organic chemicals, organic bromides, or the advanced intermediates for the CSM business that we have, and on the inorganic side as well. Thank you.
So, you know, for the organic chemicals, when it comes to, like you asked specifically Europe, but what I've seen in general, not only Europe, Japan, as well as US customers, they are trying to still find reliable manufacturers in India. And they are still, there is a strong interest to keep finding alternates to China, as well as if there are some new molecules happening, sometimes their preference is that right from the beginning, let's work with a non-Chinese customer supplier. There is also a trend that they wanted to look at in Europe, but the general feeling is that in Europe, there is a lot of, there's a very under capacity. So if Europe wanted to make a lot of things in-house, you know, they still don't have capacity, and it takes a very long time for European companies to set up capex. So I think still India and other non-Chinese companies remain the place where they want to go for. So I believe the trend for interest into India for, like, you know, as a manufacturing, for advanced intermediates, for CSM continues. As I mentioned, you know, earlier, that not only agro and pharma, but other specialty chemical companies also more and more are approaching us if we can do molecules for them. So I think that is on the organic side. As I mentioned in lithium, more than, you know, this HVAC and energy prices, the bigger driver is what is happening is the lithium availability. So companies which are able to get lithium, the prices of lithium, and how they will impact supply and demand. So again, so far, what, as I mentioned earlier in my call, that we found more customers who, like, you know, are able to make up for slightly reduced demand in India, and instead are able to like, you know, are instead are able to still buy at the higher prices. But next two quarters will tell us whether either in absolute terms or, like, you know, whether we'll be able to keep increasing our capacity with the lithium prices which they are. So, like, I know Q2 and Q3, there might be some time because some customers, the prices which we will have in Q3 are, like, historically highest. They are 3 times, 4 times what we had. So, therefore, we'll have to check which customer can still continue to buy at this price. So, I think that is going to be a bigger driver as compared to energy prices and other factors which you mentioned on the lithium side of it.
Understood, sir. Sir, I was asking, in this environment where European companies are facing problems on the energy side, and the fact that we still haven't got a clear indication as to how they are working their things around in terms of their own manufacturing capability, and we know that the trend on China plus one story is pretty strong. But what my question was largely to understand is, this presents another leg of opportunity from the supply chain diversification perspective that European companies already were grappling with higher cost on be it labor or power or environmental environmental front. Now that things are, you know, snowballing on manufacturing things because of unavailability of gas and power cost going up, does that present a significant opportunity for Indian companies or Neogen also, because we have also ventured into contract manufacturing per se? So that was a broader thing that I wanted to understand from you.
Okay. So, you know, like, if you think hypothetically, then you can say that yes, when they wanted an alternate to China, they can either go to Europe and or go to India, like one of the two options. And since power cost and, like, outlook there is a bit vague or higher cost, maybe they would prefer and India would get preferred. So yes, if we talk hypothetically, it looks like that this can be an opportunity. But so far I have not seen any customer making a call that, oh, because the energy cost in Europe is very high, I'm going to shift this production to India. So I have not actually seen any discussion around that. So I think still Europe is basically figuring out that, you know, how they will ensure that enough fuel is available for most of their needs. And I don't see so far a very strong trend, at least in our business, where customers are shifting because of higher energy prices in Europe.
Understood, sir. Thanks. So just one last question. I think we were having some issues with respect to managing our inventory, and our production planning was also done in a way which was reflecting a higher working capital.
Yes.
And now we are talking about, you know, some of the new products. We might get an approval into be flavors and fragrances or, you know, specialty chemicals.
Yes.
Now, does that become a part of an elevated pressure on our working capital, given that some of the earlier molecules themselves have not scaled up enough from our multipurpose plants to, you know, garner volumes so that they can have plant of their own where the volumes could be significantly higher? So just to understand from the product addition perspective, how would you look at the organic chemicals business going for us individually, you know, from the new products that we are adding and from the ones that we were doing business for some of our customers earlier?
So, Mr. Joshi, you know, the dynamics of any new product is that while they are getting scaled up, you know, there will be lower volumes and then eventually they will increase. But the main point, the improvement which we are expecting from FY24 onwards is saying that on an average, Neogen's average molecules are like of a larger size, so there are less changeovers, as well as, you know, going forward from FY24 onwards, we'll have more molecules which are on the dedicated as compared to what we had earlier, which is what should give us the improvement. So whether it is a pharma new molecule versus a, let's say, a non-pharma new molecule, the dynamics remain more or less similar. But yes, overall Neogen's average, average molecule size will increase, or more number of molecules will be dedicated, which we are hoping will start from FY24 once all our new molecules start stabilizing. And then FY24 onwards, we can start seeing benefits of that.
Understood, sir. Thanks. So just one clarification, something that I couldn't understand from one of the comments that you made earlier. We buy around 60-70% of India's total imported volumes of lithium carbonate. Sorry if I heard that wrong. But just something that I was curious to know was, is it more economical or makes more viable sense to import lithium carbonate directly? Or is there any way wherein, you know, the crude lithium can be brought in India and then it can be processed into lithium carbonate by a converter? Is that also an option or it's just easy enough to buy the lithium carbonate from?
So, you know, even at that high percentage of imports, we are importing like, let's say between 500 to 1,000 metric tons of this lithium carbonate hydroxide kind of molecules. Whereas internationally, the plants which do this conversion from crude from the mine are usually of the capacity of 20,000 tons. So it would not make sense for us because the scale difference will be so huge. And also most of the companies like countries like Chile and Argentina say you can only ship finished products. So they don't want them to become just a mining place where things are mined, crude is sent out. Australia still has that option where they just send concentrated ore, let's say to China and China processes that, or maybe in future US will also do that. But in India, like maybe once the battery volumes pick up really large, like maybe by 2026, 27, by that time it will make sense. But today's India's demand, it wouldn't make sense to set up a processing plant for the immediate need. For the future, you can consider.
Understood, sir. Thanks. Thanks. That was very, very elaborate. Thank you. That's it from my side. All the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to answer questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mihir Damania from Ambit Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello. I hope I'm audible. So I have just one question. So you have revenue EBITDA targets for FY23 and FY24. Do you also have cash flow from operation target for the company? So basis on an EBITDA of around 100 crores for FY23 and 130 crores of FY24. Where do you see Neogen generating cash flow from operation? What's the broad-based amount or any internal targets you have for CFO to EBITDA conversion?
Yeah. So I think, you know, I mentioned the cash flow targets in terms of net working capital limits that we want to have. So for FY23, as I mentioned, the target is to be between 120-130 days of net sales. And let's say to improve this more closer to 110 by FY22. I've not done the math, but I think we can do the math and see what it translates into, like, you know, operating margins, based on the numbers which I just mentioned.
Fair. And let's say on a long-term basis, let's say 5 years out, where do you see the net working capital? Do you see any material improvement to the 110 days number for FY24, which you mentioned? Or do you see that just because your business model is structured such that it will be very difficult to get incremental benefit of from the 110 days?
Yeah. So I think my understanding or let's say wish list, whenever we have discussed 5 years down or what, where we should ultimately be in the most efficient sense. But again, it requires a lot of changes in business model, way we deal with the customers, et cetera. I would say maybe between 90 to 100, but like with a lot of dependency on imports, with so many multi-products and like, you know, having molecules which are very long, sometimes processes, like I see very difficult going below 90 days.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhavan Shah from ICICI Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So I have a question on the organic chemical side. So given that, you know, you mentioned that in Q3 con call that the phase one and phase two both will be optimum utilized maybe by September 2022.
Yeah.
So given that, you know, if I look at the last three quarters run rate, it is around 100-odd crore.
Yes.
I think we did somewhat 60+ 55, roughly 115 crore CapEx for both phase one, phase two.
Mm-hmm.
The peak revenue should be roughly 250-odd crore. Including this phase one, phase two, organic chemical should reach to roughly 500 odd crore, which itself gives you, 120, 130 crore quarterly run rate. So my question is on that front. I mean, by when do you foresee that this organic chemical run rate can inch up to around 120 to 130 odd crore?
So let's say by Q3, Q4, we should be there. That's the only way we can achieve our next year target then. Because next year we have to almost run at that full utilization level throughout, to be able to reach that 700-725 crore.
Okay. And you mentioned that because of some seasonal factor and some higher inventories for a particular one molecule, there was some lower revenue. So can you give some numbers? I mean, how much revenues is contributed by that particular molecule in the organic chemicals front? And what do you foresee maybe 2-3 quarters down the line? I mean, is there a major concern in terms of the organic chemical growth or not?
No, so in pharma, basically this molecules going down for a while happens many a times. This time it's been a bit longer. And what happens is when we see that if this is going to be a more permanent trend, so our current reading of this is that this is just an inventory buildup. So once we know and we have a better clarity on that, we start planning some other molecules in that place. So we already have plans around that. So it will not be a concern. So we have a plan B that, okay, if this continues and if there is no correction, by Q3 or Q4, there will be some other molecules which will start replacing that.
Okay. And my second question is on, given that, these 150 odd crore, these new CapEx at Dahej will be completed by next year, around June 23. Mm-hmm. So after this CapEx, how much excess land will be available at Dahej? And when we acquired the Baroda plant, I think we were having some approvals in place for a few of the molecules. So what are the plans at the Baroda plant?
So in Dahej, we will still have space for 2 MPPs at least. 2 MPPs meaning, let's say, a revenue of additional around 750 crore, depending on, the product mix, etc., is something that we can still get out of Dahej side. And in addition to that, yes, Dahej in Karakadi, the idea is that right now, since we have SEZ benefits, which is like for the 10-year period, and many of the demand which we are having is related to deemed export or export region. So therefore, our focus of the investment will be in Baroda, in Dahej. When we have the domestic business, that will be... Basically, we'll be focusing on using the Baroda line.
Yeah. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dheeresh from White Oak Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Just on this, the electrolyte salt, lithium salt, electrolyte and the additives, I just want to understand this 250 metric ton is operational by FY23. This relates to the salt capacity or the electrolyte capacity, or is it a combination? Can you just explain that and the balance 400 metric ton which you said? Can you just explain the capacity that you put up and how much have you spent on this capacity?
Sure. So I think the 250 metric ton per annum was basically the electrolyte, so the formulation plant which we are going to make. This was a pilot facility which we want to do, with which we can start supplying to our customers. We have even a smaller facility which can produce couple of metric tons. I mean per let's say less than 5 to 10 metric tons per annum. So that has already been made operational, and from that we have started giving samples to our customer. And what we are targeting, that by FY23 that 250 metric ton will happen. So that will be more like an industrial scale to give our customers higher confidence. And also the intention is to, for us also to experience that, okay, what we made at a 5 liter, 10 liter scale, how does it get made at a 1000 liter scale? So that's the main idea behind that 250 metric tons per annum, more like a trial plant for us.
Now, so in that, you are making the salt, LiPF6, you're buying the solvent and you're making the additive.
No, so when we said that 250 metric tons per annum is the electrolyte, the formulation capacity, okay? The 400 metric tons per annum which we have mentioned is where we are going to make the salt, which can be like LIF, LIPF6, LIFSI or other salt additives which we are planning to make there. So that is the salt additive capacity. So generally, a 400 metric ton, I mean, again, will be, so this is where the salt will be made, and that can support a much larger electrolyte production as well.
8 times, right? So it's ratio is 1:8 or something like that, right? So you're making 400 tons of salt and you can make like 3,200 tons of...
It depends on each customer's formulation, okay? And part of it is also intermediate. So like I would not like to put exactly how much it will support electrolyte. But this is basically salt, and our intention here is to basically also use this to explore international market for this. Because as we stated in our previous calls, international market exists for Neogen for the salts. Because this is a market which is already existing, and the current electrolyte producer or let's say even the salt producers would like Neogen to support with some lithium salt, the basic lithium salt or LiPF6 or other such electrolyte salt. So that is what we are targeting with this. And yes, initial requirement of India also we can, like internally we can support. But the main purpose of this is to test the international market and be ready for the initial India demand. And again, like, you know, the same logic as the 250 metric ton per annum, test the facility so that when we are setting up a much bigger facility, we are more confident on the design and we can further optimize it based on the experience we have here.
Certainly. That's helpful. What I really wanted to understand was the vertical integration. So I just, my understanding, and correct me if this is wrong, is that the edge is really making the salt, which is LiPF6. In order to make LiPF6, how backward integrated are we? Like the PF5 gas, are we going to make that also? Or like, you know, just trying to understand the level of vertical integration. Because when you say we make the electrolyte, my understanding is the edge is in making the salt, because solvent we'll probably buy from outside. And in making the salt, which let's say right now is LiPF6, there could be other salts later on. In that LiPF6, how vertically integrated would we be?
So we will be only importing lithium carbonate which comes out of mine. And then the remaining chemistry will be done by me.
Okay. And solvent will be buying from outside?
This and is solvent will be bought from outside. Yes. Solvent and non-lithium additives also we may buy from outside. So there are some additives which are lithium-based additives and there are some non-lithium-based additives. So these additives we will buy from outside. But the salt will be made in-house. And that salt can be sold outside also, or it can be used for internally to make the own electrolyte also.
Okay. Second question, sir, is that this market is, LiPF6 prices are very cyclical. They were $10 a kg, then they went up to 40, 60. They corrected again, is my understanding. And market seems to be, if you look at the other players, it seems to be heavily oversupplied in terms of capacity that has been coming up. So, like, what is the confidence that LiPF6, you know, will not be oversupplied and will make reasonable spreads?
So, you know, it was oversupplied for a while, and, you know, today if you ask, most of the people think it is undersupplied. And one of the indications for us also was that when the lithium prices corrected or changed, LiPF6 corrected much higher than what the lithium prices corrected. This is based on our understanding, okay? The second thing is, non-Chinese LiPF6 is definitely undersupplied. Because 90-95% of LiPF6 is produced in China, and for various reasons. I mean, in India, partly it is driven by the PLI scheme, but let's say where it's not driven by PLI schemes, also countries are very, like, you know, like worried that dependency which they have it on China. So worldwide, you know, the way the demand is expected to grow, when we look at that number, there's a lot of new capacity which needs to get added over next 5 to 7 years. And a lot of, like, most of the countries outside China are trying to make sure that that capacity gets added outside of China. So people are trying in Japan, they are trying in Korea, we are trying in India. And ultimately, what our feeling also is that, let's say if we are able to make it efficiently, we can partake in the global business, right, and supply lithium salts there. If not, and if we feel no, Chinese is still very competitive and we are not able to match because the scale is very higher or China, there is overcapacity, we are quite confident that at least when it comes to India, you know, it will be part of the overall package of our formulation, and the lithium LiPF6 contribution into that will be relatively lower. So the knowledge, the comfort, the benefit of local transport, the PLI scheme benefits will basically trump, and at least at our electrolyte selling level, you know, we will not have a challenge even if it's like oversupplied in China. So this is our understanding or reading of things. Also, you know, unless you make LiPF6, I mean, for the electrolyte, you make it from scratch, lithium carbonate, starting from lithium carbonate, it'll be very difficult to meet the PLI, you know, guidelines also. So I think that will also be one of the factors which will support production of LiPF6 locally.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sabyasachi Mukherjee from Centrum PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity, Dr. Hari. Firstly, two clarifications. The 725 crore revenue guidance for FY 2024 and the 1,000 crore revenue guidance by FY 2025-26 does not consider the incremental revenue that will flow from lithium salts and electrolytes, right?
Yes. So it does consider the lithium salt because it's part of the 150 crore CapEx. So, you know, we said that the journey from 700-725 to 1,000 is based upon the 150 crore CapEx which we are doing, and that 150 crore CapEx has three parts. One is traditional lithium salts, second is the lithium salts for electrolyte, and third is the organic. So therefore, there is that whatever revenue we get out of that 400 metric tons is part of that 1,000 crore. But what it is not part is the bigger electrolyte business which we are targeting in India. So that is still being discussed and determined. So that is independent of this.
Okay. Okay. No, but this lithium salt CapEx, which is part of that 150 crore, that will get completed by June 2023, right? So some portion will flow in FY 2024 as well.
But would be limited. I mean, I'm right now not, like, you know, not confident enough to say, okay, it starts in June 2023, then how much revenue we will get in that. But yeah, we've not yet, like, revised that contribution of this. Like, technically, everything will be ready by June 2023. So we'll contribute to some extent, let's say, higher in FY 2024, but so far, we've not accounted exactly how much additional we will get in FY 2024.
Got it.
So maybe by FY 2024, maybe by Q4 of this year, once we have a, like, you know, we are closer to the completion of the timeline of the CapEx, and we start committing to our customer based on that capacity, so then, you know, we can give a higher response. I mean, we can give you a more clarification on what will be FY 2024 upward guidance we have based on this 150 crore investment.
Got it. And by then, by probably Q3 or Q4, when you have a better clarity on the electrolyte CapEx as well, you'll be able to probably guide for a much better clarity on the FY 2025 or 2026 revenue as well, an incremental one.
Yes. So yeah, so it's that you are right, that whatever one so the electrolyte business, the large electrolyte business in India, see, as per the PLI guidance, the Indian companies have to start in 2024. Now, if they are starting, I mean, they have 2 years' time, and maybe government can give them some extension, but if we think they stick to that, then in 2024, the production of battery cells have to happen. So, like, you know, we will have to, like, make the decision by the second half, set up the plant so that the plant, the bigger plant, becomes ready by 2024. So they will start contributing in FY 2025 a bit. Most of the customers are also, like, you know, going step by step. So their first plant would be, let's say, a 1 GWh, then they will increase it to 5 or 10, etc. So FY25 will be their initial trials for which we will start supplying, but commercial level trials. And then FY26, where the major ramp-up will come from India's electrolyte demand.
Got it. Very clear. Next question is, on the volume growth in organic and inorganic. I understand that the absolute EBITDA per ton you have kind of maintained, and due to the high revenue base, the margins look optically lower. But what has been the volume growth in organic and inorganic, if you can just throw some light on that?
So I think, in case of organic, other than slight increase in bromine, there is no major price increase-driven factor which has given us the increase. So what you see basically is the higher utilization levels which are allowing. And like I said, we were also able to make a little bit more organic, which we've kept it as an inventory. But because of our customer demand being low, like I mentioned in pharma, and Q1 always is a case where Q1, Q2, we generally always build up inventory, and Q3, Q4, unless new capacity comes online, we basically pare down that inventory. So it's more that's the trend we've seen. So utilization levels have also improved in terms of volume. And then I think Q3, Q4, you will see more closer to the 100+ crore of quarterly run rate on the organic side. In case of lithium, I think the number which we had was approximately, I mean, again, if we are comparing with the same quarter, which was 17 crore versus what we did around this quarter, it was significantly higher because, like I said, there was this non-Indian demand also which drove us, which itself contributed to almost 25%. And the Indian demand also was significant. I'm sorry, I don't have the exact number, but I would say we see the difference between 51%-58% is the EBITDA or PAT growth, and the revenue growth is around 75%. So there's a difference between that 58% and 75%, which is basically largely coming from the lithium price increase.
No, right. I mean, so you have been doing this 58 crore for the last two quarters.
Mukherjee, I'm sorry to interrupt. Please rejoin the queue. Thank you.
Just last bit, last bit, last follow-up.
So yeah, last year 58 crore, last quarter 58, and this year 58 crore. So between last Q4 and Q1, Q1 volumes were lower because the prices of lithium have increased. So as compared to Q4 of last year, we have done lower volumes. But as compared to Q1 of last year, we have done significantly higher volumes.
Got it. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. My apologies if the question is repetitive, but what is the scenario for bromine in terms of availability and pricing currently? Thank you.
I think there's no major change in the bromine availability scenarios. I mean, there are seasonal factors that during monsoon season, sometimes the bromine availability goes down in India a little bit. But we always prepare for that, and that's why we also import part of our bromine internationally. But overall, yes, I mean, if we are talking of two-year, three-year trend, less and less bromine is available from China, and India and Israel and Jordan are basically making up for it. So that trend continues to remain, and no major change from what we have seen in the last one or two years.
Right. Got it. Second question is, any update on the pharma CRAMS segment that we are targeting, particularly from the Japanese market perspective? Thank you.
So CRAMS business, or what we call CSM business, we are targeting both pharma and agro. And as we said recently, we also added some non-pharma, non-agro customers in that also. So we have some traditional pharma CSM business with Europe, which has been going for quite some time. That continues. Similarly, our other CRAM business with traditional customers continue and they are ramping up also. As well as every quarter, like, you know, some molecules move from pilot to first commercial, then from first commercial to main commercial. So that trend also continues. So there's no major update on that, except maybe post-COVID, some of the new customers we were targeting from US, from Japan, from Europe were able to visit the site and they got a better understanding. And now based on that, our discussions are going forward of which new molecules or projects which Neogen can do.
Sure, that's helpful. Thank you so much and best of luck, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you all the participants for joining the call. I hope we were able to respond to all your questions. If you have any further questions, please feel free to reach out to our investor relation team and we will address them. Thank you once again. Stay safe and we look forward to connecting with you again in the next quarter.
Thank you. On behalf of Neogen Chemicals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.